Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. The goal of my show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you, and get you in the right mindset so that you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose.
Hi, Jared. I'm so excited to have you here on the show, the Purpose Tune Podcast. There's a lot of great things I want to discuss about around, of course, purpose and meaning, but also about your background and you know, helping people tap into their own consciousness state, as well as laws of attraction. But before we get started, I do want to give my listeners a bit of background about you. So Jared Schuster is the founder of Sparks of Consciousness Life Alchemy Coaching and creator of the Life Alchemy 8-Day Masterclass of Manifestation. Jared serves as a guide for those who are ready to uncover their blockages, unveil their life's purpose, and unleash their inner alchemist. He has made it his life's mission to be of service to humanity and teach others the powers of manifestation, success, and laws of attraction. Jared had an awakening that sparked a 10-year soul journey around the world, studying with yogis and shamans to really figure out what his life's purpose is. And today he's going to share his tools of success with anyone that is eager to learn. A little bit more background, but Jared, he has a university degree from Purdue in management with a concentration in marketing. He's also a certified life coach, has 300 hours of yoga certification, which is awesome. I'm all about yoga. And he's also a surf instructor, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, world traveler, chef, and retreat facilitator. So that's a lot of amazing titles. And I'd love to cover all of those experiences that you have if we have time. So, but before we really dive into your work, why don't you tell my audience a little bit more other than what I've shared so far.
Right. Well, first off, thank you so much for creating this space for people to share their purpose, how we align with ours to hopefully encourage everybody out there listening to tap into their purpose. I believe that every single person, there is so much reason and so much purpose for each inhabitant of this earth. And it just takes a little bit of what I call a spark of consciousness to awaken to that. So thank you, Kong. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you recently. So a little bit more about my journey and my story to today. My journey starts at 6 years old, and my father had passed away from the AIDS virus. It was the first pandemic that my family had to live through, very similar to what so many of us are going through today. It was this collective trauma, not on the scale that COVID is, but for our community, it was definitely a time of learning, a time of understanding, growth, and for me, a time to learn how to heal. But my healing took almost 20 years. So after he passed away, I kind of started following just a normal conventional life. I mean, we were very heavily involved in the AIDS organization and whatnot, but I was very good at connecting, networking, and hustling. At 6 years old, I started my first business. I was selling stationery door to door. I was selling Beanie Babies. I was selling juices at school, candy bars, just doing anything. I was very attached to money. And money was a big driving force for most of my life. I had this idea in my head that money equals happiness, and nothing was going to steer me away from that. So at 14 years old, I had my first, I would say, real job. I worked at a Chinese takeout restaurant. I was the only English speaking person working there. So that was quite the experience. Learned a whole lot about that cuisine. It's really sparked my passion for cooking and food. And then I was just working, like I said, followed the conventional path, went to Purdue University, got my degree in business and marketing. My whole life's plan after school was to move to Colorado and just live a simple outdoor lifestyle. But graduating, I was graduating in the height of the 2008 to 2010 recession. So all this work that I put in, all these years of schooling to prepare me for this quote unquote dream job, you know, do your best, get good grades, get into good school to get a good job. Well, there were no jobs. So I started speaking my goal to my peers, and I was met with a lot of backlash, and people were almost laughing at me. They say, you're just saying that you want to move and do a simple life because you can't get a job. So, okay, well, that lit a fire under me. And so my junior year, I started applying for jobs all around our country. By senior year, I had companies spent over like 15 grand flying me around our country, whining and dining, and no job felt right. The last company that interviewed me was a startup in Los Angeles. And before I even walked through the doors of the office, I had never been to California, I'd never been to LA. I got off the plane and I was like, I'm home. Got the ocean, I have the mountains, this outdoor lifestyle, paradise. So I did everything I could to get that job. I got the offer and I accepted. This is where I'd say my real journey started beginning. 9 months in, I was top 10% of the company in sales. I helped them build out a brand new division in K-12 software sales. And like I said, 9 months in, I sat down at my desk and I hit burnout. 9 months into this dream job, I'm burnt out. It was as if the walls were closing in on me, the anxiety and this voice of like, I don't want to do this every day for the next 40 years. I feel like I've worked so hard to attain this goal and I'm not fulfilled. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And so the question kind of came up in my mind of like, why can't I retire now? What does retirement look like? You know, we're sold on this idea that retirement comes after you put in all this time at your job, and then you get time to figure out yourself, and then you get time to figure out your hobbies. But most of us get to that age and we can't do the things that we love. And so at that time, I had learned to surf, and surfing for me was the purest connection to Mother Nature I had ever experienced. So I was like, okay, that sounds like retirement to me. I want to learn and be able to surf every single day. And my current schedule doesn't allow that. So kind of going back on the idea that I was so attached to money and this idea of success, I drew a lot of parallels to where the universe kind of led me to. And ironically enough, out of all places to end up, I ended up quitting that career job and I ended up working at a high-end sushi restaurant in Malibu, California, home of our rich and famous. And you would think that this was it. This was the pinnacle. I was every day connecting and networking with people who we are taught to idolize. But being a bartender at this restaurant, I say a bartender is pretty much equivalent to being a therapist. And in my early 20s, I'm learning how to hold space and provide counseling and hearing these stories of people who on the outside we have judged and perceived to have everything. And a lot of them were figuring out life just like everybody else. They were in the same boat. And it wasn't their money. It was not providing any more joy. And so working there kind of shattered this whole idea of me eluding money to equal happiness. So it made me start questioning things again. What's going to make me happy? So I decided after a year or two working there, I needed to take a break. So I took 3 months off and I did a pretty amazing but typical 20-something-year-old backpacking trip all around Europe. Different city every 2 days. Meeting tons of people, learning all these cultures. It was awesome. It really sparked the travel bug in me. I came back, I worked for another year, and then I was like, there's more. I need to keep my growth going. So I decided to take 6 months. I went to Southeast Asia for three, four of those months. Spent a lot of time in Thailand, followed the endless summer surf all around Indonesia. And then on Christmas Day, I was sitting in this little rented room looking at a world map. And the only thing that I saw on that world map was India. And I was like, whoa, I'm this close. So I figured out a way to get a visa. I booked myself into a 30-day yoga intensive training. I studied under some yogis there. And it changed my life. That whole country just radically changed my life. So as my training came to an end and my time traveling around India came to an end, I thought I was ready to come back to the States with all these new tools, with all these gifts that I had to offer. I was going to be a yoga instructor. I was going to share these teachings from the East that I had just learned. and the universe had something very different in store for me. I was driving home from work. I was home from that trip for 2 weeks, and I was driving home from work, and I was hit head on in a car accident. And I had both of my legs broken, scarring all over my body, and a whole lot of trauma. Everything that I had worked to learn about myself and love externally, the surfing, the hiking, the connecting with nature, my work, my friendships even, it was all taken away from me in a blink of an eye. I was stuck in a bed for almost a year. But that's where my tools from India came into play. That's why I needed to have the India experience before this incident was going to happen. So it was like the universe was saying, you're going to go to India, you're going to get these tools, but you're not meant to share them in that conventional way just yet. You need to live them and incorporate them. So as soon as I was well enough to walk again a year later, I booked myself into a 12-day, 5-ceremony shamanic healing retreat in the Andes Mountains of Ecuador. And we can spin off and go into stories and whatnot, but I healed 20 years worth of baggage, a lot of it stemming back to me learning how to grieve the death of my father, me learning my true purpose of who I am on this earth and what I'm here to do and the work that needs to be done. After my second ceremony, I went to the owner of the center and I just explained to her, like, I have to be a part of this. I have so much more to give, to learn, to do, to heal. So she said, come back in 3 months and you can live here. You can work here. So I went back to Los Angeles. I sold everything I owned onto a 44-liter backpack, and I moved my entire life to this retreat center. There's 12 of us on staff, and for 6 months, I was part of over 200 people's very unique healing journeys. I saw it all, you know, depression, anxiety, cancers, diseases, you name it, just trauma, addiction. And I saw, I'd say 95% of people who went through there came out a better version of themselves. They did the work, they got the tools. And when you get the tools, it's up to you to incorporate them in your life or not. So my time at the center came to an end. I moved to a little fishing village on the coast and just reintegrated back in the world. I was like the only gringo in this tiny little village, surfed my brains out. And then it was time to start living my truth and living my purpose. And that's where one thing led to another. I ended up back in the States, a place I never thought I was going to come back to. And I'm in San Diego, and it's like healthy, happy, vibrant, such an awesome place for me to be doing this work. And that's where I am. That's where I'm at today, is I'm planted here and I'm working with so many people on helping them release their conditioning or their blockages or what's holding them back. These ideas that have been taught to us about success and helping people to redefine what success means to them.
Right. Yeah. Wow. I mean, there's so much we can go with this conversation, but your personal story is so powerful because it gives me such inspiration, and I'm sure to my listeners as well, about the resiliency and the capacity that we as human beings can take on and to be dealt with so many challenges and then pick ourselves back up, and then realizing that we are actually at the end of the day going to be okay. And that there's more to life than events, and these events don't define who we are, because as a human being, we are expansive. We are more than just one or two events that define us. And the makeup of who we are is so special, right? And we have to have the tools and the knowledge to really realize that we are a creator of whatever you would call this God or, a higher power. And so it's great that, you know, you've tapped into this work of, spirituality and manifestation. And I'd love to just, pick your brains about what purpose really means to you. I know that you've shared, life events, but as you know, the show is really, it is about purpose and meaning. And so if you could help my listeners define what that means, and then we can guide them towards other topics that I'd like to discuss.
Sure. first off, I love that you said that note about being the creator. This is a golden nugget for everybody listening to start tapping into that creative power within you, that we are our own individual creators. I do a lot of work around perspective, and it's like, change your perspective, change your life. You're choosing the world that you want to see out there. Mm-hmm. And I saw this image a while back, and it was like a meme, you know, a cartoon graphic, and it was of two painters standing in front of this beautiful mountain. And on one canvas, you're seeing, you know, the back of the painter. And on one canvas is this, the artist is painting the mountain. And then the guy standing right next to him in this meme, on his canvas, he had painted a fence that was in front of the mountain and a homeless guy with all of his belongings around him. And it's like the same image, but two different perspectives of what are you choosing to see? And I live that every day of being this creator of like, what perspective am I choosing to see out in the world? Am I choosing to see the gray cloud that is hovering above the world right now? Or am I choosing to see the beautiful beam of sunlight that is streaming down on us and providing us with so much opportunity and abundance? Mm-hmm. So in terms of purpose, to me, purpose is your alignment with your highest self. It's, to me, it's beyond the financial materialistic gains in life. If the question I pose two questions with purpose, well, many, but two good ones, is if you've made all the money in the world that you're wanting, what do you do next? So great, you can skip the money part and just start doing what's next. You can skip that step. We can just start. The other question is, if you could single-handedly fix one of our crises in this world, what would it be and why? Whether it's thirst or water crisis, hunger, climate change, whatever it is, that helps you tap into more of the giving mentality. Mm. So what I'm getting at is, to me, purpose is knowing yourself so much, understanding the gift that is you so much that you want to give it away to everyone around you.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the examples? Like, could you give a few?
Well, I find that, examples would be people who are living in alignment with bettering their communities. It's mm-hmm. not everybody who's working at like a homeless shelter, it feels that they're living their purpose. But example would be of just you feeling so full in yourself of, I'm not going to let anything permeate who I am, but I'm going to bring so much to the world. I do a lot of work understanding vibration. So like I said earlier, perspective, where are we vibrating at? So if you're having a low vibration day, that's what you start attracting. If you're having a high vibe, if you're feeling great and on top of the world, then everything seems to go your way. If you're driving to work and, you know, somebody cuts you off and makes you angry and you carry that anger with you into the office, you're going to keep attracting more and more of that. So it's always being aware of like my purpose. So concrete example, my purpose is here to serve. And what does that mean? It means, oh, I'm always looking for opportunities where I can help, and it's help without an expectation of something in return. Mm-hmm. Because it is very true. The more you give, the more you receive. But you don't expect the receive. The receive may come from a roundabout way. It may come from 10 people down the line. But the more conscious and aware you are of that statement of the more I give, you start seeing and you start feeling like, oh, this aligned and happened 3 weeks later because I helped that person a while ago. And again, maybe that they're not related, but it always comes back tenfold. Mm-hmm. So the more I am in alignment with like, I'm here to serve, who can I show up? Who can I help? How can I support you in your path? And if there's a place for you to support me, great. If not, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm here doing my work.
Right. So it's almost like what Oprah Winfrey would say, fill your cup so full that you're so full, you're pouring, you know, overflowing. And when your cup is so full, you have the capacity to share your joy, your love, your happiness with other people without the expectation of receiving that in return. And so I think that that's a great example. I was also thinking about you know, when you say give your time, your energy to serve others. So one of the best highlights of my life are moments when I, you know, am of service to others. I started volunteering when I was at a very young age, 13, 14 years old, in the community, helping people who were homeless, feeding the poor. Even though I didn't come from a family that had a lot, it was the work of volunteerism. It was so fulfilling for me. And of course, I wish I could do more of that, you know, with all the life's distraction around work and trying to, you know, launch your own business. But I think that more and more people need to tap into, they need to contribute to their to the communities in which they live in, because if it wasn't for those communities, I don't think we would receive the kinds of resources and support that that we received. And so I think that you really bring up this important notion about how being of service to other can really tie into our own sense of purpose. I suppose my next question here would be, you know, you mentioned, you know, difficult times throughout your life. How do you push through them? How do you manage? You know, you shared the story about, you know, being in a car accident and having both of your legs broken. Like, what was that process like? Could you explain, what your mentality was like at that time and how you were able to overcome those challenges to be in a positive state of mind?
I think the quote that came to mind the most during that period in my life was, "This too shall pass." Mm. And I use that all the time in times of discomfort, even times of comfort, of nothing is permanent. Your permanency is the state of mind that you're choosing to stay in. So if you want to stay in a victim mindset, if you want to stay the victim and feel sorry for yourself, that's as far as you're going to get. But at some point you have to heal. And for me, the power of healing starts and ends with gratitude. One of my teachers in South America left me with that, and of that gratitude is the highest form of consciousness. Mm-hmm. When I really sit with that, what does that mean? And through the healing process, it's being grateful for the healing. It's being grateful for the incident. It's being grateful for the hardest things that you have been through in your life. And yes, gratitude is just this word. A lot of us say, oh, we said our please and thank yous, but true gratitude goes so much deeper than that. And it's the practice. It's something I'm still working with, but I consciously work with it. So when I reflect back on that accident, and, you know, there was definitely a phase and a time where I was sitting and I was very low and I was depressed and it was dark and I was angry. I was so angry at the world, but there just came a point where it's like, this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to sit here and wallow in this and feel sorry for myself. So let's start the healing process. Let's say, thank you. Why did this accident happen for me instead of to me? When I speak on COVID, this is an awesome time for people to ask themselves, why did COVID happen for me instead of to me? What silver linings can I find in this? Where can I find gratitude? Again, gratitude is, yes, expressing your thanks for the blessings you have in your life, but it's also expressing thanks for all the challenges, because they've made you the warrior that you are today. So that, I mean, gratitude was probably the biggest piece, and it took a while to get there, but I share that now so people hopefully don't need to take time to get there. They can just start welcoming more gratitude into their life. Take the hardest thing you've been through, sit with it in the silence, in the stillness, and just shower it in thanks. Thank you. If you're still here and you're still breathing, there's so much to be grateful for, especially your challenges. Mm-hmm. Focus on your challenges to let them go. Take that weight off of yourself. So, I mean, that's probably the most profound practice that I've had in my entire life of thank you. Thank you for this experience. It's preparing me for whatever's next. If I can get through this, I can get through anything. And this too shall pass.
Right. There's so many changes within our lives. And you know, you and I talked before the recording here, before I recorded this show, about how nothing's really stable. Like, for example, our jobs aren't stable, right? Like, anything could happen, the market could shift, and, you know, like, look what COVID did to the economy, right? And we have to be in a state of mind where we can be resilient to these changes, and have these tools and ideas and creativity that we can tap into in moments of difficulties. Could you share a little bit about your program, from lead to gold, turning your, you know, people's passion into dreams, and how they can monetize those services?
Yeah, so it's lead to gold. So in alchemy, that's what an alchemist does, is they take lead into gold. And to me, the lead is what's holding you back. It's your blockages of what's inside of you. Your gold is your purpose. It's that highest self. So through my coaching, what we do is we work on self-limiting beliefs. You know, where are these ideas come from? Let's redefine what success means to you. Mm-hmm. We all have our own definition of success hiding deep within, but there's been this cultural programming of what it should look like. Excuse me. So when you decide to take a step off of the path of the shoulds, like we talked about earlier, you get to be the creator. So let's create. Let's find out what fuels you, what drives you, what makes you unique and you special. And everybody has that in you. It just takes some time to kind of uncover the layers. We're all like these onions, and we have to peel back one layer at a time until we can find that core center of what that light is that exists within all of us. Mm-hmm. So when I'm working with clients, a lot of it is centered around this redefining ideas that have been taught to us from society, taking action steps. That's a huge piece of it, of let's create your biggest goal. What is the biggest dream that you have? But then let's break it down into tiny little actionable steps. What is one thing that you can do each and every day to get you closer to that goal? But also being open to that goal shifting. I feel like so many of us get like tunnel vision, and it's like, I see the end in sight and I know exactly what it is, but you're missing all these opportunities along the way. And when you're more open to receiving what it is that the universe is trying to present to you, you may be taken in a different direction, but it's going to be for your better. I call it following the thread, that all around us in our lives, we have these tiny little threads every day, every time we step outside of our house, even within our house. And it's up to us to choose whether we want to pull the thread or ignore the thread. But when the thread is there, I encourage people to pull it and see what's in store. And it's not always easy, but we can get through these challenging times together. Mm-hmm. So I created this entire, you know, we can get into this entire course of manifestation. And manifestation to me is equivalent to manifesting your purpose. What is your dream? It starts with your vision. Let's create a strong vision. Let's build a desire around that. Let's create an action plan. Let's figure out what gratitude means. Let's talk about mindfulness. You know, these buzzwords that are in our society today that many people don't understand. But mindfulness, how can you bring that into your life? Mm-hmm. I sat in on a Dharma talk by a Buddhist, a Sri Lankan Buddhist monk recently, Bhante Sujatha. He's been a part of my family for many years. My mom went to Sri Lanka with him, and he said that the answer to our world's problems right now can be solved through mindfulness and loving kindness. Mm-hmm. Those two things, if we all took some more time to understand what those two things mean, loving kindness, having love for yourself, that self-compassion piece, but expanding it broader, loving your neighbors, loving your community, loving the world, and then loving somebody who makes you uncomfortable, loving your enemy. How do you express love for that? This is a great time to start learning these tools, because we're so divided in this world. Mm-hmm. How can we come back to a place of love? And the mindfulness piece, mindfulness is you're the observer of your emotions. It's stepping outside yourself to assess situations and realize I have a choice on how I choose to react. Mm-hmm. And my reaction is going to cause a chain reaction and carry forward. So am I going to approach each situation from a place of groundedness and calm and present moment? Or am I just going to be irrational and jump on people? Again, we're seeing that a lot right now in our world. Everybody just kind of jumping on top of one another. So I work a lot with clients on kind of breaking down these ideas and creating a new perspective shifts in their lives to start seeing and recognizing the success that already exists. That like we are all have so much to be grateful for, and that's a product of our successes. In terms of monetizing it, I mean, that comes quick, but it comes down the road of now let's take exactly what it is that's fueling you and find your tribe. And to me, money becomes a byproduct of you living in full alignment of who you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So that will come secondary. Mm-hmm. But thanks to this modern day that we're living in, this ability to put up websites and connect and build and have our canvas, in whatever our canvas looks like, you get to be the artist of your life. And so like you will find your tribe, you will find ways to make money. The money will come, I promise. It comes in the most mysterious ways when you're open to it. But if you're only focused on, hitting that money mark from one avenue, it's going to be a lot harder to get it because, again, you're missing all that's around you.
Yeah, right. I mean, to your point, money is nice to have, but it's not the answer to why we are here on Earth. What's our why? What's our existence? And I wanted to ask, how we can monetize, our passions, because I have guests on my show that talk about entrepreneurship as well. And I think that one of the ways how we can, of course, be in a better state of mind is, of course, having areas of our lives that we can fulfill around spirituality, emotional resiliency, financial, aspects, relationship. And so all of those components make up, our lives. And so we have to find ways to tap into in those areas of our lives and find ways to really maximize it so that we can be our most happiest self. And of course, guided by our purpose, which is ultimately the North Star to where we want to go. And how did you, so you went from, you certainly have been in a few positions. What led you to launching your own business in this? I understand that you're definitely passionate about this type of work around helping people unleash their own consciousness and tapping into, their purpose to generate meaning and helping them tap into, and understanding what sparks their consciousness and giving them clarity. So why a business? Why not just work for a company that is already doing this type of work?
Well, that's a good question. I'd say where it started from was my time in Ecuador working with other people. Like I said, being part of over 200 people's healing journeys gave me a very insider look as to what it is that is holding us back. Mm-hmm. And at the core, a lot of our, I wouldn't say issues, but blockages in life stem from our inner child, that we have bruised inner children. We've never been taught the proper tools on how to use that to empower us or how to let it go if it's not serving us. Mm-hmm. So when I came back from my journey in South America, I was noticing that I was having conversations and a lot of times with complete strangers. And I allow myself to be a channel for what needs to be heard. That sometimes words and phrases come out of me and I'm the steward to present it. And I was noticing very frequently that people were coming out of the woodwork. Like I said, complete strangers would come up to me and they'd be seeing me just being me, living my life. And within a matter of sentences, something would shift inside of them. And I could see it. I could see it so visually. I see it all the time in my conversations now. And this is where sparks of consciousness came from. It's not just words I put together. It was this higher wisdom of that's what that is, of when your consciousness is ready to receive the lesson or the teaching, to fully absorb what it is of where you're at in your life right now, to move forward, that's when your consciousness is sparked. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful that I have been allowing myself to be this channel. So I have been witness to countless sparks of consciousness, so mm-hmm. to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I am always open to working with other organizations. I've definitely been in and out and collaborating and done consulting and whatnot, but this is me. I'm not part of an organization. I'm offering my full self. Sparks of Consciousness is Jared Schuster. So when I left the kind of career life behind, that corporate world, it doesn't mean I'll never step back into it, but I'm going to step back in from a completely different angle. Mm-hmm. I'm there to empower people. I'm there to guide people into living their best life, even if they're at a job where they're unfulfilled, how to bring more light and compassion into the workplace. That's a piece of what I enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
But my mission right now is to get my content, my wisdom, me
mm-hmm.
to positively impact the world in whatever way that is. So like I said, this idea of setting your end goal, I'm so open to my goals changing. I know my purpose today, but again, it's like I'm just open to receive. It's tell me where I'm supposed to be today, and that's where I'll go. I'm ready to show up and do my work. So right. For today, my work is solo, but I have support from awesome people. My clients become some of my best supporters and friends, and I have mentors and all that. So it is bigger than me, but it's me. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I don't want to have to work for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy having complete control over my time and my life and what I want to be doing each day.
Right. That's amazing. And, you know, I know a lot of people are in the similar shoe as well, trying to launch their own business. And, you know, the freedom that comes with being your own entrepreneur, being an entrepreneur is of course a really good thing, but of course there's a lot of work that's involved as well, as you know. Who inspires you, or what inspires you, and why?
All the people that are taking leaps of faith right now into new directions. I find these stories so inspirational, of people who are ready to sit with their discomfort, people who are ready to go within. You know, I mean, I get inspiration from my community, from those people who are out there serving right now, who are just showing up to better our world in whatever way that looks like. It's mm-hmm. like, as long as their intent, people putting out good content on the internet, you know, it's very 50-50. Either you're putting out stuff that is causing conflict within people, or you're just putting out pure light. And that's Purpose Tune. This is an awesome platform of, you're an example of somebody who has such good intention on making our world a better place. In terms of people we may know, John Lennon is probably my biggest inspiration, next to Jesus and Buddha. You know, I don't identify with a specific religion, but these are enlightened masters that there's so much to learn from these people. But I talk a lot about John Lennon because, you know, my favorite song, which happens to be the song of our century, is Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that you can be anywhere in the world. You can be in any culture, any country, any language, and everybody knows that song in English. And when I heard, you know, the song, to me, Imagine is like, that's it. That's the end goal of all of us existing all together. And the fact that the whole world knows that song, oh, it provides me so much hope. But then I get so confused of how come we can all come together to sing this song and know this lyrics, these powerful, powerful lyrics, but we can't implement it. That the second the song is over, it's like, ah, that can't be true. But it's like, we're creating our reality. So we're either heading towards a more unified world or we're not. Another person that inspires me as of late is, I recently read the biography Thirst by Scott Harrison. He's the founder of Charity Water.
Okay.
Anyone listening, awesome, awesome book. I think it's just a read that everybody needs to. And it's his story. It's a similar story to many of ours, but the way that it's framed of one person can truly make such a massive difference in our world. And his organization is taking on our water crisis. And it's like, it gives me hope. You know, there's so many moments of hope going on right now. And I'm just choosing so consciously to focus on those because I start seeing more and we start getting, building that traction behind it to hopefully see that positive change. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm open. I take inspiration from Mother Nature. I take it from the dogs that I work with and animals I spend time with and other humans and my parents. So again, it's a matter of perspective.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you that it is a matter of perspective as well as what we choose to focus our energy and attention on, we're going to receive, it's just, there's, like you were saying earlier, there's a 50-50%, option we have, either to choose to focus on the good things or the bad things, right? And so how do you, I guess my question to your point is, how do you get people to tap into the light within themselves if they've ever known was the negative things? Like, for example, this country, we're so divided. Like what happened at Capitol Hill last week, it's in the violence in our community with the people that are involved. How do we, not just give them the light through sharing content and, either building these relationships to help them, but how can we help them help themselves? Or they are a lost cause, or what's your idea?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. It's something that's definitely on my mind, and I think a lot of people's mind. What we're seeing, this just destruction of wounded inner children. That's what it comes down to me. Is these are a lot of wounded inner children. People running the show, people lashing out. It's a product of years of not being taught how to communicate. I think that that is something we can all be focusing on more in our daily lives. Is real not only non-violent, but non-confrontational communication. How can we share our opinions? And our opinions are our truths. So how can we share our own truths without setting someone else off? How can we learn how to hold space for somebody who needs to get this out of them without it attaching onto us? Mm-hmm. I feel like we're so quick to share our opinions out in the world right now, but we're not ready to hear anybody else's. So there's no dialogue going on. It's just two heads butting against each other. Right. Gratitude is circling back. That's the most powerful practice we can all start working on, mm-hmm. is gratitude. I don't believe there's lost causes. I just think there's a lot of miseducation and misdirection going on. Mm-hmm. So at the core for everyone listening, if you're wanting to be the change, then just be the change. Mm-hmm. I speak a lot on planting seeds. And planting seeds to me is like the time of being a preacher is kind of over. It's time to live by example. So just show up in your world. You don't need to say anything. Your actions are going to speak so much clearer. So welcome people to your dinner table. Open your house, not literally right now because of what's going on in our environment, but online and in this world of welcome conversation, get comfortable with the discomfort that's going on. See that there's lessons to be learned in this discomfort. We're gonna get through this. Mm-hmm. Some people won't, but this is all choice. We're all making a choice. So on an individual level, it starts with just within. Choose within who you want to be and how you want to show up with the world, and the world will receive that and reflect that. I believe our world is such a mirror of who we are and how we're operating.
Right.
So it's like, I'm not having heavy, heated conversations that often because that's not part of my reality. I'm not choosing that existence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I can choose it. Like, I can choose. What's that?
It sounds like you have done the internal work already and you're conscious about it.
Yeah.
Whereas it seems like human, the innate, where we are born to focus on the negative things and we have to be conscious of that and really do the internal work to say, okay, so this is what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling. I'm not going to choose to tap into that negative energy, which is natural
I need to do the conscious work and really focus on, you know, the intent of why I'm here. And that is to focus on the positive things.
See, I want to flip that around though, real quick, because I think that we are born focusing on the positive things. We are brought into this world in alignment with self. We are this newborn beginner's mind, mm-hmm. and the negativity is a learned thing. Mm-hmm. The negativity comes from us being taught that we are searching so far outside of ourselves, mm-hmm. that the answer is in the media, the answer is in are from our government, the answer is from our parents, from our friends, from our family. Mm-hmm. So it's a learned behavior. So we need to unlearn it, and it's time to re-remember. This is what it comes back to, is remember who we are at the core. And at our core, we are divine light beings. Mm-hmm. The first time talking to you, you brought up how many billions of sperm are there fighting to get to one egg.
Right.
And it's like, it's a miracle. It is an absolute miracle that we're here. Why are we forgetting this? We need to stop forgetting. You know, this is a whole nother discussion, but we have lost our disconnection to self. We've lost disconnection to source. And to me, source is Mother Nature. And if we go back to the earth and go back to nature, we're going to find that connection back to self. And again, the work starts within in order to go without. You can't do anything in the world if you're not full yourself. If you're not going after what's holding you back and empowering yourself, you're not going to be able to help anybody else. Mm-hmm. So you have to start with you. It has to start with going within, the stillness, the silence. Another buzzword, meditation. You know, everybody has their own opinion and definition, and lots of people are terrified of that word meditation, because mm-hmm. it means sitting with your discomfort, but it doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. Meditation can start very small, starting with just gratitude, of looking around your house right now and finding three things in this moment to say thank you to, of mm-hmm. stepping outside and breathing in clean air and looking at the trees and saying thank you. For mm-hmm. me, getting on my surfboard, sitting in the ocean away from noise, mm-hmm. thank you. Meditation. That's the inner work. That's what keeps me full and fueled and ready to offer my gifts to the world. So right. I think that that's a lot more of the practices that we can start incorporating into our daily lives as individuals to show up for the greater of our communities.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I love that. So I suppose you've already answered this question, but what other advice would you give my listeners?
Other advice? just that. What you have been taught isn't necessarily the truth of what's out there. Mm-hmm. That I believe that a lot of us are living in like a fishbowl. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a fishbowl, does the fish know that there's a whole ocean out there? And I talk a lot on this when we're talking about career choices and whatnot, that if your job title were to go away tomorrow, do you know who you are without that title? Mm-hmm. So my advice is to start doing that work. Find what fuels you, find what brings you joy, find what excites you about helping others, help others unconditionally, and sit with yourself. Go to the discomfort and say thank you. Thank you for this experience. You know, we've brought up so many times in this hour talk of gratitude, of connect to gratitude. That is the best advice. Whether you're an entrepreneur, whatever, it's like, is what you're doing contributing to the greater good of the bigger picture of bringing us all back together? Mm-hmm. If the answer is yes, awesome. I can't wait to see what amazing things. If you're not fully into what it is that you're doing, it's never too late to change. You're not set. Just because we chose a career at 14 years old does not mean that you're locked in. You can start fresh tomorrow. And this is the beauty of the time we're in. Of decide who you want to be in your life and start going after it, because it's there waiting for you. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Wow, that's incredible. Jared, where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Sure. So I do a lot of connecting on LinkedIn. I speak with strangers. That's who I've been in my travels. And I just love connecting with anybody and everybody if you're willing to share your story. You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook. I just set up an Instagram account, so I'm new to that. Could use, I guess, some followers, but beyond followers, I want genuine connections. My website is sparksofconsciousness.com. And I mentioned a little bit earlier, I created this 8-day Life Alchemy Masterclass on manifestation. It's no more than 15 minutes a day of your time. I provide you with a grounding technique every single day, a new one that you can implement in your life. To do this work, we need to come to a grounded present state. We dive into a day's theme. We uncover aspects of you. You do a lot of work in these 8 days. Right now, I'm offering it solely donation-based. It's just, let's start tapping into success and purpose for you. So lots of places you can find me. If you found any value in listening to what our conversation had today, please just reach out, express your gratitude for this, but let's go a little deeper and let's just get to know each other.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for doing this work. This is important work that will help make this world a better place. You know, lighting this world with nothing but positivity. And this was what the show is about. This is what my show is about. It's really, you know, how do we get people to tap into their own, in their own light to generate, you know, then to generate the light within themselves outward so that people can also be inspired by it. And if we can do more of that as a community and as a society, we can make this world a better place. So again, I want to thank you for taking your time to spend with me and to sharing your knowledge and insights and wisdom about purpose and meaning and what that, you know, looks like. And let's, you know, since we're both out here in San Diego, let's continue to stay in touch. And I'd love to take up surfing with you sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you. Seriously, like, thank you for all you're doing, my friend. It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm happy that I met someone who is in the same space as me and who happens to live in the same city. So I'm sure we'll connect in person once this whole pandemic is over. All right. Take care, buddy.
Thank you. You too.